All right, today's daf is Menachos Daf Samach. We left off yesterday in Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis discussed how, while it's true that the Minchas Chote that the Minchas Chote does not get Shemen Ulevona because we don't want him to have a nice karban, the person who brings Minchas Chote, the Mishnah discussed the separate Isurim of Shemen and Levona, that they're two separate Isurim, and they actually have different Gedarim, that Shemen, as soon as you put it in, it passes the karban forever. Levona, the Mishnah said, you could just pick out of the carbon and that would be fine. So we left off at Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, about five lines before the end of the page. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Nasan Mashuhu Shemen Al Gabi Kazayis Mincha Pasul. Now that we know that there is an Isser of putting Shemen and Levona on certain types of Menachos, because after all, the previous Mishnah, Nun Tes Mem Aleph, went through which Menachos require both Shemen and Levona, which Menachos require only Shemen, not Levona, and which is Minchas Nesachim, and which Menachos require only Levona, not Shemen, which is Lechem Apanim, and which Menachos require neither. And those that require neither are not allowed to have either of them. It's usur to have Shemen and Levona on a Minchas Chote and a Minchas Kenaos, the Mishnah had said. So now we're going to discuss how much Shemen, how much Levona is considered a violation of the Isser. So Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Nasan Mashuhu Shemen, Al Gabi Kizayis Mincha Pasal. It has to be a Mashu of Shemen, so it doesn't have to be any shear, just even a Mashu of Shemen, but what it has to be placed on is a Kizayis of a Karban Mincha. My time, where does he get these numbers from? Pasuk says, Lo Yasim, Sima Koldehu. Lo Yasim implies that even the tiniest placing. And then it says, Aleha Adi Ikashiura. Aleha implies that it has to be on it, on something significant. So that which you are placing is just a kolshehu, but it's placing on something significant, and that something significant, we assume, means a kazayas. Now, important to realize, as we darshan this Gemara, the pasuk says, Vinasata Aleha Shemen, Visamta Aleha Levona. That was the pasuk we darshaned yesterday. By Shemen, it's Vinasata Aleha. By Levona, it's Visamta Aleha. Two totally different words. So we're darshaning over here that Shemen on Mincha is a lashon of Sima, Lo Yasim Sima Kaldahu, and Aleha, it has to be a shear. V'am Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef, V'am Rav Yochanan, Nasan Kizayis Levona Al Gabi Mashuhu Mincha Pasul. When it comes to placing Levona, it's the opposite. A Kizayis of Levona is what you need to place onto the Karban Mincha in order to be Chayiv, but the Karban Mincha itself doesn't have to have any shear. It could be a Kol Shehu. So why is it reversed? Why is it that the shear are reversed for the Levona? So my time, what's the reason? Pasuk says, Lo Yitein Ksiv Adiika Nesina. Lo Yitein, if it's a lashon of Lo Yitein means don't give a significant amount. Significant amount is defined as a kazayis. Don't place a significant amount on the carbon. Aleha, now we said before, Aleha means something chashuv. So why over here does Aleha mean even a mashuhu? That you're placing the Levona even on a mashuhu? So the Gemara says, Havi riboy acha riboy, because it said Aleha in the first half of the Pasuk, and that meant something chashuv. And now it says Aleha again, which sounds like it should mean something chashuv. So it's a double riboy. Whenever you have a double inclusion, Ein riboy acha riboy, ela lema'et. A double riboy always comes as an exclusion. It always comes to be mema'et something. And therefore, we learn that the mincha upon which Levona is placed is even a kol shehu. V'ikadam riyam Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef by Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan asked as a shayla. He didn't say clear cut. Asked as a shayla. Nasan mashu shemen al gabi kesayis mincha mahu. Miba inan sima kinesina? Alo. And he raised it as a question. If you put a mashu of shemen on a kazayis of rekam mincha, are you chayiv? Do we say that the sima for which you're chayiv has to be the same shear as a nesina for which you're chayiv, which would be a kazayis? Or no, maybe we don't compare the two isurim to each other. This goes back to that issue that we were saying before. How connected are these two isurim of putting shemen and levona on the minchas chote minchas kanaos? Should we assume that they're some way connected, that the pasuk is being makish the two to each other, in which case the shear should be the same, or not? Teku, and he leaves it as an unresolved question. Now, in several achronim, the Cheshek Shlomo over here quotes from a sefer Mayan HaChachma, who raised the following suffix: is this din, is the din of placing Shemen Levona in regards to the Shiurim the same by Minchas Knaos as it is by Minchas Chote, or is there a difference between them? Meaning, By minchas knaos, should we say that if you only put a kol shu of shemen, it's possible if you only put a kol shu of shemen, it's possible? Or maybe minchas knaos is different than minchas chote, because by minchas chote, the lashon of the pasuk is lo yasim. All of the lashonos that we're darshaning over here are said in regards to minchas chote. So does that necessarily mean minchas knaos plays by the same rules? The Mishnah Nun Tes Amud Aleph was a mechalek between minchas chote and minchas knaos. Said both of them require neither shemen nor lavona, because there's an iser to put shemen lavona on both of them. Great, but how much? What is the gedder of the iser? The lashon of the pasuk that we keep darshaning is only by minchas chote. It's not by minchas knaos. By minchas knaos, the lashon of the pasuk is lo yitzok. Maybe yitzika means a certain amount of shear, and you're not chayiv on just a kol shu. So that's the suffix the Achronim raised. I didn't see any clear answer to the suffix. That's the suffix that they raised, though. Tosfos points out in Dibur HaMaskel Mi, in the top Tosfos on Samach Amud Aleph, that it's mashma from the Gemara that whenever the Torah uses the Lashon of Nesina, it means it has to be a Kezayis. And by Levona, by Minchas Chote, it says Lo Yitain, so it must be a Kezayis. So Frek tells us, really, is that always true? Every time it uses the Lashon of Nesina, it means a Shir Chashuv, it means a significant amount. Tosfos gives three examples where we find otherwise, where Nesina doesn't have to mean something that's a Chashuv Ashir. For instance, he says, we find in Perek HaZav, but Metzia Daf Mem Zayin, in the middle of the skinny lines of Tosfos, Konin Bekli, Afal Pishen Boshav Pruta. If you want to do Kinyan Chalipin, so what do we use? A handkerchief, a pen, it could be Konin Bekli, you can do a Kinyan Chalipin as a symbolic form of Kinyan, that I'm being kona, let's say the achrayis of my ksuba. So what do? I pick up a pen. Well, a pen has nothing to do with my ksuba. A pen is not even worth anything. But I'm doing a kinyan chalipin. I'm doing a kinyan bikli as a symbolic form of kinyan, even though it doesn't have a shavapruta. Where do we learn the din, this kind of kinyan from? Pasuk says, vinasan l're'ehu. Vinasan. So why could it be worthless in a shavapruta? It's supposed to be Vinasan. So there is a chiddush of the Rashba Masecha Shavuos, where the Rashba suggests any kli that's useful for what it is considered to be a davar chashuv. Even if its value may be less than a shavapruta, if you can use the pen to write because it works, or you can use the handkerchief to blow your nose because it works, it's fine, it does what it's supposed to do, it meets its designated purpose, so that makes it chashuv. So maybe that's not the greatest raya. Tosfos doesn't raise that point, but that's the point that the Rashba raises. So maybe vinasan does mean a davar chashuv, but when you do a kinyan chalipin, you just have to do with something that's chashuv, similar to what we learned in Hilchos Mezuzah a few dapim ago, where we discussed the idea that some poskim hold that any room, I think we may have mentioned it, that any room that's useful for its intended purpose, even if it's not actually Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos, is Chayv and Mezuzah. And that's why some poskim are machmir with walk-in closets, even though they're less than Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos. That's the Chumrah, the Chamudei Daniel, quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, that if it's useful for its intended purpose, Memela, it's considered a viable room. Similar idea that the Rashba has in regards to a kli. Second example Tosfos gives, we find by get. If a person writes a get on Isurei Hana'ah, on something that you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from, and therefore has no monetary value because you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from it, it's kosher. How do I know? V'nasan biyada. Torah says, V'nasan biyada. Nesinas get bialma, we darshan, that means any sort of get, doesn't have to have any value. But wait a second, according to our Gemara, Nesina means it has to be chashav, it has to be something of value. Our Gemara says Nesina means at least a kezayis. So why over there does Vinasam biyada mean, Nesina bialma, any sort of Nesina? So again, this is answerable also based on anyone who ever learned Mesechus Gittin in Yeshiva. If there's one yesod of Achronim that you come out with, is the very famous Chiddush of the Ketzos, where the Ketzos suggests that by get, there's no requirement to be makne, the get, to your wife. You don't have to give it to her b'toras kinyan. And that's why it breaks all the rules of kinyan. That's why if you write it on Isurei Hana'ah, it's okay. That's why Gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad. The halacha normally is kol masha kansi isha kanabayla. Whatever a woman acquires, her husband acquires. How could she ever acquire her get? It's never out of the husband's rishus. So the Gemara says, Gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad. That comes at the same time. She becomes divorced, then acquires it at the same time. Well, how does that work? Because it's not working b'toras kinyan. normal kinyanim, normal rules of kinyanim don't work. So it could be by get, we use the term v'nasan, because la'afuke, a kinyan. So v'nasan doesn't come to teach me a davar chashav over there, it comes la'afuke, a kinyan. But the third example of Tosos is bothered by, if you look about five lines before the lines get wide, uksas kashav b'truma. What about by truma, d'chsiv titain lo? If you say that every time you have a lashon of nesina, it means you have to give something chashuv. Why is the halacha by truma that if you take a single stalk of wheat, that could exempt your entire field from a chiv of truma? Everything you reaped from that, you harvested from that field, is part from truma with a single chita. What happened to kidei nesina? What happened to giving a shir chashuv? That nesina has to be a davar chashuv. And he says, and don't tell me for a second that when we say chita achas poteres kalakri, that one single stalk of wheat is good enough, that it's lav dafka, and we're not really serious about that. That is untrue. We are totally serious about that. And he brings rayas that a chita achas is definitely poteres kalakri. If that's the case, he says, that chita achas really works, why don't we listed amongst the things that are ein lahem shir, that don't have any shir. He says, well, Tosfos says in the last line, it does have a shir, because you're not allowed to give your entire field as truma. You always have to leave something over. It's only truma if you're mafresh the truma from something else. You're not allowed to give the entire thing as truma. But Tosfos is bothered by this kasha. By truma, there's a mitzvah nesina. How can we say, if our Gemara says nesina means it has to be chashuv, how could mitzvah nesina be on a single chita? So there is a very important yesod that of seemingly the achronim, but later achronim found it in a rishon already. The Tosfos Ritim Maseches Kiddushin says this. The later achronim that quote it are the Mishnah Lamelech, the Matnas Aniyim, the Sfas Emes, the Maariz Chiyus in Gittin, Dav Chaf, and most famously the Nod B'Yehuda in Tinyana Yardei Asim and Reish Aleph. And that yesod is that Truma actually has two components. Truma actually has two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, and there's a mitzvah nesina. And the two accomplish different things. Hafrasha means I have all my grains, and I take some and I set it aside as truma. That allows me to eat the rest of the grains. Once I remove the truma from it, it takes away the iser tevel from the rest of the grains, even though I never gave it to a kohen yet. That's the mitzvah hafrasha. Then there's a separate mitzvah to take that truma and give it to a kohen. When we say that chita achas poteres esakri, that's going on the mitzvah safrasha. That's going on just removing the grain and putting it aside. When we say that you need nesina, that's going on the second element of the mitzvah. That's going on the giving it to a kohen. So that's what you need a shir chashuv. Well, how could I ever have, if I'm going to only use a chita achas to be mafrish, how am I ever going to have a shir nesina to give to a kohen? Well, maybe I'm mafrish a little from this field, a little from that field, a little from that field, then I put it all together, and when I give it to a kohen, I give it as one big package. But each field that I'm mafrish from, maybe is only chita achas. That's the chiddush of the Tosfos Rid. Nod B'Yehuda didn't have the Tosfos Rid, so Nod B'Yehuda says, he has an interesting lashon. He says, I have a chiddush, he writes, that, let me find his lashon. I can't find it, but he says, I have a chiddush that no one ever said such a thing, but I'm convinced it's 100% correct, even though it doesn't appear in any of the earlier svarim. So it turns out that it does appear he says, yesh lomar b'zeh davar chadosh lo kadamni b'zeh shum mefarish o posek, that no mefarish o posek thought of yet, v'huzeh, and this is my chiddush. And he says, this chiddush. It turns out, later on, I'll point out that the Tosfos Rid already found this chiddush, that it wasn't the Nod B'Yehuda's, Nod B'Yehuda wasn't the first one to originate it. Now, in terms of answering Tosfos's question, so that would certainly work. However, Tosfos Maseches Gittin has a different answer to the question of why it is chitachas poteres esakri, if nesina means you have to give a davar chashuv. Tosfos Maseches Gittin Dav Chav says that lashon nesina doesn't really mean a kazayis or a shavapruta. All the Gemara means to say over here is from the fact that the Torah first used the word sima, v'santa, and then changed the lashon to a lashon nesina, that's what indicates that it's Shira B'Kazayis, that it must be something different. Not that the Lashon Nesina on its own always means a Kazayis. It's the fact that the Torah Dafka used a different language than it had been using before. That's the Iker Limud. That's how Tosfos and Maseches Maseches Gittin suggests. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, we're at the two dots now on Samach Amid Al, five lines in. Nasan Shemen Al Shireha. So if you put the Shemen on the Shirayim, you put the Shemen not on the Kometz, but on the Shiyareh Amincha, the Mishnah had said you are not in violation of Alos Haseh. There's no Isser that has been violated. It's only an Isser when you put it on the Karm Mincha before the Kometz is taken out. So Tar Rabbanan, Lo Yasim Al HaShemen V'lo Yitein Yachol B'Shnei Kohanim. I might think that the Isser is with two Kohanim. What does that mean? I mean, I think the issue is with two Kohanim. So Rashi says, "Delo yischay v'shnei lavin atchu shnei Kohanim, echad nosin shemen ve'echad nosin levona, aval chad kohen lo mechayev lechad lav." I might have thought that if a single kohen puts both shemen and levona on the carbon mincha, he's not chayev twice, because you're only chayev twice if two different Kohanim do the two different isurim. One putting the shemen, one putting the levona. That's the havamina. Fractosos, what kind of havamina is that? Why would I have ever assumed that? The Torah tells me two separate isurim. Don't put shemen, don't put levona. So if I mechal Shabbos and I eat chazer treif, that's not two separate isurim. They're two separate isurim. Of course I'm chayev twice. So why would this be any different? They're two separate isurim. What kind of havamina is this? Tosfos asks in Dibur HaMaskil Yachol V'Kasha, Kivin D'Ksiv Yishnei Lavin, Lama Lo Yischayev Kohen Echad? Why wouldn't one Kohen be Chayev the same way two Kohanim would be Chayev? So it says, Tosos near the Farish to Mayri, B'shtei Menachos HaNasos B'shnei Kohanim. We're talking about two Karbanos Mincha. Da'ach Yorch Orcha D'Milsa, Mishum Barov Am Hadras Melech. That in general, we try to get people together as much as possible, with more Kohanim involved, because of Barov Am. Da'b'tanufas Chaz V'shalk V'chalav Metaplum B'shloshu Kohanim Mishum Barov Am Hadras Melech. So what's the Gemara saying? That Yachol B'shtei Menachos Dafka K'sivi Shnei Lavin, I mean, I think it's only when you have two karbanos that there are two lavin. Why? Why only when you have two karbanos? Because if you only have one karban, as soon as you put whichever you put first, the shemen or the levona, you've already passled it. So then there's no further iser to put the other on. So it's not about shnei kohanim versus kohen echad. That's the lashon the Gemara uses. But really, it's about two karbanos mincha. Then I might think that if I have a single karban mincha and I put shemen and levona, that it's only one iser. Because once I put the shemen, it's possible anyway. So who cares that I put levona? Once I put levona, I ruined it anyway. Who cares that I put the shemen? I might think there's no chiyuv in that, on that level. That's what Tosa suggests. Tosa suggests another explanation of the havamina. B'shem Rabbi Natam toward the end of Tosos, Rabbi Natam Farish Yachol B'shnei Kohanim Kolomar B'shnei Mekomos Shezenas and Shemen V'zenas and Levona V'adin Ba'adam Echad B'zeh Achazeh. That I might think it only applies if you put them on different spots of the Karban Mincha. Again, the weakness in Tosos' explanations in both of them is that it's not really about multiple Kohanim. It's either about multiple Karbanos, multiple spots within the Karban, but not really about Shnei Kohanim. Rashi's explanation fits the words really nicely. It's just logically difficult to defend. Why would you ever have a havamina that a single kohen does both isurim, that he shouldn't be chayiv for both isurim? So Rashi is difficult on that level. Tosfos is difficult in terms of the words of the Gemara. There is a fourth explanation that the Ravid has. The Ravid says Yachol sheinu chayiv el b'shnei kohanim she'echo nasanas hashemen v'chaveru nasanas alvona. I might think you're only chayiv when one puts the shemen, one puts the levona, for the following reason. The reason that the Torah asks matan shemen and levona in these menachos is kidei shelo yehei karbanu muhudar. The Gemara said this explicitly, that why is it that by Minchas Chote, Minchas Knos, we don't want Shemen Ulevona? Because we don't want them to have nice karbanos. These are the people who have done bad things. We don't want them to have nice karbanos. So Bishara Menachos, by other Menachos, it's Royal Chachila that every avoda of the Mincha be done by a different Kohen. Why? Why do we want that by a Karban Mincha? To make it as nice as possible. Rovam Hadras Melech, one guy will be Yotzik as Hashemen, the other one will be Yivlal, the other one will be Yitena Salvona, the other one will be Mainif, the other one will be Magish, another one will be Komates, another one will be Malach, another one will be Maktir. Every little step will be done by a different Kohen to show this great participation of so many wonderful Kohanim in the Avoda. So I might have thought that the Torah's main Hakpada over here is that Minchas Chote shouldn't have this beauty, this beautification of having so many Kohanim involved. That's the Havamina. I might think that it's only Aser if you have two different Kohanim doing this, because then you're only going to violate two Isurim if you have two different Kohanim, because that's the real reason why Shemen Levona doesn't belong. We just don't want to give another job so that another Kohen is going to get involved, because we don't want it to be so beautiful. So that's the Havamina. That it's not about the Shemen Levona per se, it's about Shemen Levona normally involves more Kohanim, and that's going to be Mahadah the Karban, more than we would like it to be mahadir the karvan. Okay, whatever the hava mina is though, so let's read the maskana. I might think that the Yisr is only violated with two Kohanim, Tamalomar, Aleha, Begufa Shal Mincha, Kasr Medaber, Velo Bekohen. It's got nothing to do with the amount of Kohanim, it's Begufa Shal Mincha, that this Karban Mincha is not allowed to have Shemen, not allowed to have Levona, no way around that. Yach lo yitin kli al gabe kli vim nasan pasal. I might think that if you have a cup of oil, you're not even allowed to put it on the flour of the mincha, not pouring it out, just putting the cup down on it, and that if you do it, it's going to be pasal. I might have thought that as well. Tamalomar aleha begufa shel mincha kasam medaber. No, the issue is to put the oil on the mincha directly, not if it's in a cup. If it's in a cup, then it's totally fine. If it's in a kli, you could just remove the entire kli, and then it's not going to be a problem at all. Okay, next Mishnah moves on to a totally different topic, and that is the mitzvos of Hagasha and Tenufa. Primarily, for now, we're going to be discussing the mitzvah of Hagasha. The mitzvah of Hagasha is that there is a mitzvah to bring the menachos that require Hagasha to the Mizbeach, in a way that they will touch the Mizbeach. It says it twice in the Torah. Number one, Vaveses HaMincha Shayasa Me'elu LaHashem V'yikriva LaKohen V'higisha El HaMizbeach. And then the Torah also says V'zos Torah HaMincha HaKarevosa, and it says El Pnei HaMizbeach HaKarevosa El Pnei HaMizbeach, that you bring it to the Mizbeach. So that is the mitzvah of Hagasha. The entire Karban Mincha gets Hagasha. It's not just the Kemitza, not just the part that's burnt on the Mizbeach. The Halacha of Hagasha applies to the entire Karban Mincha. The Gemara Maseches Sota says that you don't actually have to have the contents of the Karban Mincha touching the Mizbeach. It's good enough to have the Kli that the contents of the Karban Mincha are in touching the Mizbeach. The Gemara has a Limud Maseches Sota that's true. Nevertheless, Hagasha, we're going to see soon, is not Ma'akev. If you don't do the Hagasha, the Mincha is still going to be kosher. It says it twice. I quoted you two psukim, and generally the rule is that shana alav hakasav la'akev and kachim, whenever something says twice, it's always to tell me that it's to be ma'akev. So no, over here it's different. The Gemara tells us it's still going to be kashim, because the reason why the Torah repeats it is to be kaveh la'makom, is to establish the right place. If you recall, much earlier in the Masechta Daf Yutes, we had a discussion of where exactly to do the Hagasha to. Should you bring it to the southwest corner, the chuda shel mizbeach, or should you bring it to one of the sides of the Mizbeach? So that was a Machlokas Tanaim. I'm not going to get back into that now. The Hagasha is done by a Kohen, either because, the way Rashi says, simply a Zara is not allowed in that spot of the Beis HaMikdash. She's not allowed right up next to the Mizbeach. That's how Rashi and many other Rishonim point out. That's why it can't be done by a Zara. Even though typically, Mitzvah's kun is only mikmitzah ve'elach, but over here practically the Zara is unable to do it because the Zara is simply not allowed to go into that area of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's see the Mishnah. Yesh tunas hagasha ve'en tunas tenufa. Some karbanos mincha require hagasha but not tenufa. Some hagasha utenufa. Some tenufa v'lo hagasha, require tenufa but not hagasha. Tenufa is the waving. And some lo tenufa v'lo hagasha. Some require neither tenufa nor hagasha. Ve'elu tenufa hagasha, tu'unos hagasha ve'in tu'unos tenufa. The following require hagasha but not tenufa, and this is the majority of karbanos mincha. Minchas, very similar list to yesterday. Minchas asalas, v'amachvas, umarcheshes, v'achalus, v'arekikin, minchas kohanim, minchas kohen mashiach, Minchas Nachrim, Minchas Nashim, Minchas Chote. We already translated all those yesterday. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Ein Ben Hagasha, Lefisha Ein Ben Kemitza. Rabbi Shimon says a Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach does not get Hagasha because there's no Kemitza. And he relates the mitzvah of Hagasha with the requirement of Kemitza. The Kol Shein Ben Kemitza, Ein ben hagasha. Whenever there is no kmitza, there is no hagasha. So Tosfos points out, Rabbi Shimon does not mean to be giving a reason that because there's no kmitza, that's why there's no hagasha. Because if that were the case, a minchas chote shel kohanim, where Rabbi Shimon holds it does get kmitza, should require hagasha. But it doesn't. All Rabbi Shimon is doing is he's giving a klal that any time you find that a mincha that a mincha doesn't have kmitza, that kol she'ein b'mincha kmitza ein b'levona. Whenever there's it should be ein b'agasha. Whenever there's no kmitza, there's no agasha. But there are certain doesn't have levona rather. But there are certain menachos that doesn't have agasha. Whenever a mincha does not have kmitza, does not have agasha. But there are certain menachos that do have kmitza, but don't have agasha, meaning they're not directly linked to each other. The reverse you can have. That's how Tosfos points out. Rashi and the Shitu Kvetzah say kol shein bo kmitza. When Rabbi Shimon says kol shein bo kmitza, he means a kmitza that's matu the shirayim to kohanim. It is a reversible rule, but the minchas chotei shel kohanim is an exception to that rule because its kmitza is not matir the shirayim. So that's machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Is this a rule that the kmitza and the hagash are mamish linked to each other, are related to each other, or not that they're 100% related to each other? Okay, weiter. Amar Rav Papa, kol heichad etnan, eser tnan. Wherever we had this statement yesterday, also right after the Mishnah, that we'll go with the second shot of Rashi from yesterday, that that these are 10 separate categories of Karbanos Mincha that are listed in our Mishnah. My Kamashmul, what's the Chiddush? Lafukim in Rabbi Shimon, Dam Mechzachal, Smechzu Rikikin Yavi, Kamashmul and Delo. That Rabbi Shimon thinks that if you have a single Karban Mincha, that you say you're going to bring a Mincha Smatha, a baked Karban Mincha, that you could split the baking into Chalos and Rikikin, some into thicker Chalos, some into thinner rikikin wafers. So kamash malon that you can't do that, because in our Mishnah chalos and rikikin were listed separately. Those are two totally different kinds of karban mincha. So you're not allowed to split your karban mincha amongst the two of them. Frankly, Gemara minani mili the Tan Rabbanon ilu nemar had the pasuk said vehevesa shir yasam el Hashem v'kriv alakoyin v'gisha ha'yis yomer em lishaton agasha lekometz b'vad. I would have said that the only thing that requires kmitza, that hagasha is the kmitza. How do I know that the whole korban mincha requires hagasha? It's not just the kmitza that you take out of the mincha that requires hagasha. You have to bring the entire korban mincha minayin. How do I know that it's true of the entire korban? Tamalomar mincha. That's why the pasuk says mincha mincha schote minayin. How do I know that it's true of mincha schote as well? Tamalomar es hamincha. That's why the pasuk says es hamincha. So essentially, what the gemara just did is it told us that we needed psukim to teach us that hagasha is A, not only done on the kmitza but on the entire karban, and B, that it's done on a minchas chote. Now the Gemara is going to say why we need a pasuk to teach me the minchas chote. Why couldn't I learn out that hagasha is done in the minchas chote from other karbanos that require hagasha? Why is it that I need a pasuk? So the Gemara spells it out as follows: Vidinhu. Nemar hacha. It says that it's meaning logically. I could have already deduced. One might have thought that a minchas chote requires hagasha. I shouldn't even need a pasuk because nemar hacha minchas chova v'nemar hacha minchas nedava. Minchas chova is the minchas chote, and it says about minchas nedava. So ma minchas nedava to an hagasha. The Torah speaks about the requirement of hagasha in the context of a minchas nedava. So I would think af minchas chova to an hagasha. A simple mametzinu that if the Torah tells me something in one place, I should know to apply it to all similar cases. So if a minchas nedava requires hagasha, I would have figured out on my own that a minchas chote requires hagasha. Why do I need a pasuk tell me that a minchas chote requires hagasha? Says Gemara, no. Mal minchas nedava shekein tu neshamin levona. You could not derive the halacha of a minchas chote from a minchas nedava because a minchas nedava requires shamin and levona. A minchas chote, you're not allowed to put shamin and levona because it's not allowed of nice carbon. So how could you? We don't link the halachos of one to the other, and that's why I need a pasuk. Says Gemara, no. Minchas not everything that doesn't require shemen ulevona does not require agasha, meaning the requirement of agasha is not a function of the requirement of shemen ulevona. How do I know that? The minchas kanaos, the minchas sota, it does not have shemen ulevona, but it does require hagasha. So it says Gemara, mal minchas sota shekein tu netnufa. But maybe the minchas sota only requires hagasha because it also requires tenufa. But a minchas chote doesn't require tenufa, and that's why I don't know that a minchas chote requires hagasha. Well, minchas nedava tochiach, but a minchas nedava requires hagasha, but doesn't require tenufa. So don't tell me hagasha is a function of tenufa. So essentially, we wanted to say hagasha maybe is a function of shemen ulevona. We said that can't be true because minchas sota doesn't have shemen ulevona, does have agasha. Okay, maybe agasha is a function of tenufa. No, but minchas nedava doesn't have tenufa and does require agasha. So v'chazar adin lo rizak rizav lo rizak rizav tzad shav shben shav l'kmitza v'shav l'agasha afan yavi minchas chote shav l'hen l'kmitza tishvan l'agasha. So why don't I learn from a tzad shav of minchas sota and minchas nedava that the two of them don't have any chumras that they share in common, right? The Minchas Sota is a chumra of Tanufa, but the Minchas Nadava does not. Minchas Nadava is a chumra of Hashem Nelvona. Minchas Sota does not. So we should learn that anything that you take a kmitza from also requires Hagasha, and therefore Minchas Chote should also require Hagasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me about Minchas Chote? Why can't I learn it from the Tzad Hashava of Minchas Sota and Minchas Nadava? Says Gemara, no, can't. The one thing about the Minchas Sota and the Minchas Nedava is it could be brought by Ashir Kaba'ani, rich and poor alike. Tomer v'minchas chote shlo huchshu lava ba'ashir kaba'ani. By minchas chote, it's not so. It's not the same for an ashir kaba'ani, meaning it's a carbon all of yored. You would bring a different carbon depending on your status, depending on how wealthy you are. So it plays by different rules, and that's why you cannot derive minchas chote from minchas sota and minchas nedava, and that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that minchas chote requires agasha. Tamalomer es hamincha. That's why the pasuk says es Mincha, to tell me that Minchas Chote requires Hagasha. So I need a pasuk. I cannot learn it from anywhere else. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, another drasha that we're going to try to figure out why we need a drasha, why we couldn't just learn it from other sources. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vehevesa, Rabbos Minchas HaOmer LaHagasha, that it's coming to tell me that you need a Minchas HaOmer for Hagasha, that you need Hagasha rather on a Minchas HaOmer. So Vehenu Omer, Vehevesa Masomer Rishis Ksir Chamel HaKohen, Vekriva, and then the word Vekriva, Rabbos Minchas Sota LaHagasha, to tell me that a Minchas Sota requires Hagasha as well. V'chein omer v'hikrav al mizbeach. And so the pasuk says v'hikrav al mizbeach v'dinu. But it says, wait a second. Couldn't I have figured out minchas sota anyway? Why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that minchas sota requires hagasha? Couldn't I have been able to figure out anyway without any special pasuk that a minchas sota requires hagasha? Now the achronim raise a very fundamental problem over here, and that is that to say that there's a riboy in the pasuk to teach me that minchas sota requires hagasha is very strange, because there is a beferish of pasuk in the Torah that's explicit in Bamidbar Parakeh pasuk chafei chavav v'lakach hakohen miyad ha'isha es minchas haknaos v'heinif es hamincha lefnei Hashem v'hikriv osa el hamizbeach. Pasuk says beferish that the kohen takes the minchas sota and is hikriv osa el hamizbeach. It's beferish in the pasuk that you require hagasha. So this whole discussion about the minchas sota, the achronim raises some eyebrows in the achronim. A riboy in a pasuk. Oh, why do I need a riboy? I could have learned it from drashas that the gemara is about to suggest. I could have learned it from kal v'chomer or tzad shavas, whatever. What do you mean? It's beferish in the pasuk. So Marshan Sfasem is right that one might have interpreted the pasuk to not be referring to the mitzvah hagasha, just to be makrovit to the mizbeach. And since the Torah doesn't use the term hagasha, it uses the term hakrava, so one might have thought that that's not the mitzvah hagasha. Mitzvah hagasha has certain details, not just to bring it toward the mizbeach. It has to touch the mizbeach. It has to be on a certain side of the mizbeach. It has different details. So one might have understood the hikriv not about actual mitzvah hagasha. Anyway, so what would I have learned min chasot from anyway, even without this riboy v'dinu? Ma minchas chote she'en etunu tunufa tunu agasha, minchas chote she'en etunu tunufa e'en adin she'en tunu agasha. If minchas chote does not require tunufa yet requires agasha, minchas chote which requires tunufa all the more so should require agasha. Says Mar, no, that would not have been a valid limud. Ma minchas chote she'en ba'achitin. Minchas chote comes from wheat. Minchas chote sa'orim is meichel behema, is a much lower level, so I might have thought it doesn't require agasha. So says Gemara, no, Minchas HaOmer Tochiach, but Minchas HaOmer should have showed us that even things that are made out of barley do require Hagasha, because Minchas HaOmer is also made out of barley and requires Hagasha. Says Gemara, no, but Mal Minchas HaOmer Shkeitun Shemen Ulevona. Minchas HaOmer requires Shemen Ulevona. Maybe that's why it requires Hagasha. Minchas Sota, there's no Shemen Ulevona. Maybe that's why it should not require Hagasha. So Minchas Chote Tochiach, no, but the Minchas Chote doesn't have Shemen Ulevona and it does require Hagasha. So why don't we learn from the Tzad HaShava? B'chazar Adin Lo Rizak Why don't we say tzad hashava minchas chote on the one side and minchas haomer on the other side, that each of them require agasha, so too minchas sota should require agasha? Why do I need a pasuk that minchas sota requires agasha? Says Gemara, no, because the minchas omer and minchas chote have a chumra in common that minchas sota does not have. Mal tzad hashav shben shken lo hukshu lavo kemach. Tomer minchas sota shuch shalavo kemach. Minchas sota is allowed to be brought as kemach. Minchas chote and minchas omer cannot. That's why I need a pasuk for Mincha Sota to tell me Mincha Sota requires Hagasha. Tamalomar vihikriva. That's why the pasuk says vihikriva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer veheveisa l'rabos Mincha Sota l'agasha. Rabbi Yehuda says veheveisa teaches me that Mincha Sota requires Hagasha. V'chein Omer veheveis karbana aleha. Aval Mincha Sota Omer lo tzricha kra. Rabbi Yehuda says, for Minchas HaOmer, I don't even need a pasuk to tell me that you require Agasha. My time, oh, why does he not require a pasuk? Up until now, we've been discussing why we do need a pasuk to tell me the din of Agasha by Minchas Sota and by Minchas Chote. Now we want to know, why does Rabbi Yehuda think we don't need a pasuk to tell me that Minchas HaOmer requires Agasha? Over here, we're going in the reverse. We want to show why it's obvious without a pasuk. So, Medina Kasia, because you can learn it out with the following limud, following Kal v'chomer. Minchas Chote, she'ina tunu tunufa, tunu nagasha, Minchas HaOmer, she'tunu tunufa, ina din, she'tunu nagasha. Minchas Chote does not require tunufa, does require agasha. So Minchas Chote, Minchas HaOmer, which does require tunufa, so we see we're more machmir, should for sure require agasha. Ay, mala Minchas Chote she'kein ba'achitin, but you can't learn from Minchas Chote, because Minchas Chote has its own chomer that it's ba'achitin. Mincha Sota tochiach, but the Mincha Sota will show you not everything that's that requires Hagasha is ba'achitin. Mala Mincha Sota shekin ba'al levarer avon to maskeras avon he. Aye, but the Mincha Sota is different because Mincha Sota comes to know whether she had committed adultery or not. So it's there to be mevarer avon. So maybe it's different. Mincha Sota tochiach. Well, Mincha Sota is not to be mevarer avon. Mincha Sota is to be mechaper. It's not to be mevarer avon. It's not to clarify whether there was a sin or not. It's when you know there was a sin, you bring them in Chaschote. So v'chazardin lo rizak rizah v'lo rizak rizah. So we can learn out from the tzadah shava though, at tzadah shavahen, that by min chaschote and min chasota is shekin shavul kmitza, they both require kmitza, v'shavul agasha, and they both require agasha. So if min chaschote and min chasota require kmitza and agasha, says Rabbi Yehuda, afani avi min chasa omer, sheshavsal na kmitza, tzishvel na agasha. Min chasa omer should be the same, that it requires kmitza, and therefore should require agasha. And that's why I don't need a pasuk. Don't need a pasuk for Minchas HaOmer. Says Mar, my parafta. So what would Rabbi Shimon respond? How could he shlug up this limud? So Rabbi Shimon parachachi. Now the tzad shava that they both have in common, that Minchas Sota and Minchas Chote have in common, that Minchas HaOmer does not have in common, is that Minchas HaOmer is only once a year. It's not common at all. So since it's not common, maybe that's why it should not require Agasha, whereas those things that are more common do require Agasha. Rabbi Yehuda Adra, Rabbi Yehuda would respond, no, Minchas HaOmer is not less common than Minchas Sota, Minchas Klaus. How many times a year are you chayiv to bring Minchas HaOmer? Once. How many times a year are you chayiv to do a Minchas Sota or a Minchas Chote? Well, depends if there's anyone that's a Sota or anyone that's a Chote. It could be zero. It could be 1,000. We have no idea. But that's not more common than Minchas HaOmer. Minchas HaOmer, you have a minimum of at least one. Adarabba, Hametzuy Tvei, it's much more Matzoy. Hanach Zimnin Delomish Kachsla Klal. But the other ones, sometimes you're not going to have to bring it at all. This is a major machlokas over here. Rabbi Yehuda Shimon, it's a Shas machlokas. It applies in Masech HaZvachim as well, where the Gemara discusses the concept of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem. How do we define what's tadir, what's not tadir? Is tadir that which you are chayiv to do more often? Or is tadir that which happens more often at the end of the day? The Gemara in Zvachim, in Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, discusses if you have a tadir mukuda. So the Gemara tries to bring up different cases. Shlam shel emesh, chatos v'yashim shel yom. So shlam shel emesh kodim. Yesterday shlamim wins out. I hashlamim v'chatos v'asham shalayom. But if you have a shlam v'chatos nashim today, it sounds like the chatos nashim would come before the shlamim. I shlamim is tadir more than chatos asham. So the Gemara gives two answers. Rava says tadir kam bayilan matzui lo kami bayilan. Rava says big difference between tadir and matzui. That which is tadir means that which you're chayiv to do often. Matzui is that which commonly is done more often. So the Gemara says, really, matzui is not tadir. The Gemara is another daya that matzui and tadir are very similar to each other. Same two dayos reflected here are reflected over there about how to define that which is more tadir. This is very halach lemaisa. Shagas Aryeh has a series of famous tshuvas where he discusses something that's very nogea for this time of year. Just came up on Friday night. We made early Shabbos on Friday night. So by the time we finished our meal, we realized that we had three mitzvahs to do. We had to say Kriya Shema over because we davened right after plug. We have to count Sfir Salman, and we have to bench. So which mitzvah comes first? So Shagas Aryeh says, well, I know which one comes last. Sfir Salman comes last because that is the least common of all of them. But which comes first, benching or Kriya Shema? So which is more common? Kriya Shema is twice a day. Benching is, well, depends how often you wash. If you wash five times a day, benching is five times a day. So should we say that benching is more common? Shagasari says, no, it depends on these two deos. If you hold that which is done more often is more common, so benching might be more common. But if you hold that which you're chayiv to do more often is more common, then benching is not more common. Halacha lemaisa, he paskins that it's that which you're chayiv to do, and therefore benching would come after Kriya Shema. It would be Kriya Shema, benching, Sfira. That would be the order. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick up from the first wide line tomorrow.